Okay, we're holding here in Derech Eitz Chaim. We did the first piece, and now the second piece. And like I mentioned last time, Derech Eitz Chaim is his introduction to his important Kabbalah Sefer. And even though a lot of the points that he's going to be making here are general points, are very, very important points, but it's specifically focused on, it will lead up to understanding of Kabbalah versus other inyanim. There are two beings in the world that were created similar, with similar properties. Seichel Adam and Torah Maskel Asaysay. The Seichel of a person and Torah that enlightens him. Ala Torah Nemra. Eloikoi Dvarike Eishdum Hashem. About Torah it says that Torah is like Eish. And it's something which Torah was given to us ha'ara for Klal Yisrael to light up with. It's this Torah is very dissimilar from Chachmas, from Goyish Chachmas. A secular knowledge, she'ena l'dias devar ma she'yasi ha'seichel b'tarchoi, they're the knowledge of something which the seichel gets with its effort. Ach ha'toyre hine kodesh hu asher lo mitzius gvoi v'roir. Toyre is kodesh, and its mitzius is up in shemayim, because she'yasik bo odom l'mata, when a person is oisik l'mata, let's talk about this. Let's discuss what he means exactly. And in general, this is something which is said many times. And, you know, people say, oh, fan Torah is more than other chachmas and so on and so forth. And it's oyer, it's kedusha. But what does it mean exactly? What are we trying to say over here? And what's the difference between, it's a real oyer, he says. What does it mean, it's a real oyer? You do need lights to learn it with. Nois and ner, lamor, you know, shema lamor, and so on. So let's understand the following. A person whose faculty for connecting to something is touch. Imagine somebody who's blind. So he can only connect by touching things. So when he touches something, he has that thing, and he has it in his grasp, and that's what he has. So by definition, the things that I grasp with my hands are physically in my proximity, and I get a handle on it and a mastery over it. And also, my grasp is limited. I can just hold X amount of objects in my hand, and that's it. Let's take the faculty of sight. So now we have a person who's not blind, he sees, or it's not dark outside, it's light. So dramatically, two things change. One is I'm able to connect to things that are beyond me. I can't touch them. I can look up at stars and see stars that are millions and millions of light years away. Two, the amount that I can see with my eyes is really incredible. I can hold in my hand a rather small amount, but I can see with my eyes, olam umloo. That is the yachas. That's the difference between sight and other things. Let's now go to chachmas. Chachmos come in different formats. There is the physical chachma in this world, and the physical chachma in this world includes what everything is made of, out of, and how it works. So these are rocks. What are these rocks made out of? This is water. What's the water made of? Why is the water? And so on. That's what I know. So basically, knowledge is the effort of my mind. Knowledge is what I'm trying to do, what I try to do, and I understand, I grasp, and I can grasp things that are within my frame of reference. I can go a step further than that. I can plan what is the most efficient way to go from point A to B to C to D. I can work that out. It's a little more abstract, but it's still part of this world and it deals with this world, and therefore it's to some degree tangible. Now, what do I do with things that have no shaychus in this world? They're not of any substance in this world. Can I use my mind to understand it? The answer is not really. So when I speak about something spiritual, I really have, a good scientist, a scientist who has his definitions right, when asked about religion, he will say, as a scientist, I can say nothing about it because you're not allowing me to define it. You're not allowing me to test it. You're not allowing me to describe it. So basically, it's out of my realm. If you tell me there is a world somewhere that can't be seen, touched, felt, heard, or in any way sense that's full of angels praising the Lord all day long, I have nothing I can say about that. As a scientist, it does not enter the realm of my possibility of grasping. So all the things that I can possibly grasp in this world, all the chachmas, are, like he says, dvar ma, they are tangible, specific objects, even if it includes great systems. And asher, and all it is the effort of my mind to understand it. That's all it is. I make an effort to understand it, and my mind is geared to understand anything within the physical world. So it's nice if Hashem helps, but it doesn't need that. There's another world. And that world is the world of Ruchnius, which means it has no share of this world. Why is Kedusha good? I cannot give you an explanation for it, because there's nothing in this world that I can translate it. I can tell you why it's good not to smoke, because I'll translate smoking into disease and pain. I can translate why working hard, being industrious is good. I can translate into money and so on. But Ruchnius, I can't really translate because it's not part of my metzias. So really, there's no way in the world that I can have a shaychus to a world that is Ruchnius by definition. Having a shaychus means that I can weigh it, touch it, smell it, something, taste it. So we have something called Ur. Ur means it is a light. It allows me to have a glimpse and a sense of something that is beyond where I am. So just like the stars, I feel that I see a star, even though I have no way of touching it and so on, but I do see it and I connect it as such. The seeing and the connecting with a world of Ruchnius also happens with that measure of beyond, with that sense of oyer. So Torah is an oyer, meaning it allows me to get a sense of things beyond this world. That's one. Two, if my mind would not have a faculty for digesting or and sort of absorbing aura and making sense out of it, I would also not know. So Nishmas Yisrael and Teres Yisrael are oyer. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael le'or bar, and therefore its mitzias is gevoya begavi meraymi. And when a person is, so its real mitzias is somewhere else. Like Hashem yasek ba'adam lemata, oyeru Hashem torah b'nishmaser lagiyos against the meraymim gizvay soshmar. If I give a marshal for this, imagine the following. Imagine that I am the American ambassador to, pick yourself some farukta country in Africa, Mali, Gambia, Zambia, and I'm there posted, or I must belong to the wrong political party. And I'm stuck there for years, and I have a child I'm raising there. The child, so for me, I'm an outsider. I'm from a different world. I bring my American sense of things to that world, and you know, and I'm an American. My child is brought up in that world, and my child in that world is growing up with no clue of America. And I'm trying to teach him American manners. I'm trying to teach him all sorts of things that are totally irrelevant in his world. They're not only irrelevant, they're not of his world. What I'm trying to do is give him insight. I'm trying to let him look far out into America and get a sense of American culture, and at least he has a sense of it, so that when he goes to America, he'll have a feel for it. The world of Ruchnius is beyond us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability and the tool for getting at least a sense of it. And therefore, when the child asked me, what's wrong with eating with my hands? Everybody eats with their hands. And everybody seems to be healthy and nobody seems to have any problems. My answer to that is going to be, you're right. In Zambia, no, everybody eats with their hands and they're wonderfully healthy. But in America, nobody eats with their hands. And therefore, what you're learning, what you're seeing is something that belongs somewhere else. I want to sort of digress a minute, a parenthetic remark. You know, when you talk about chok, over the years, sort of people have asked, how do you explain, what's wrong with gay marriage to people outside and so on? And I think the answer is, it is impossible to explain it to anybody outside, because it doesn't translate. All of Arayas, the Rambam says, is a chok, means it doesn't translate to anything that can be understood from within the world. There is nothing wrong within the world, but you become cut off from a world over there. I don't have an instinctive feel just by myself about what's wrong in that, what works in that world, what doesn't work in that world. But I know that the Torah is a window. So when I draw together all the bits and pieces of the Torah, I get a window into what that world is all about. So Torah and Nishmas Yisrael are a pair that belong to the world of Oyer, which means allow for connecting long distance to something that I can never be now fully part of it, but I can forge some sort of connection. And that's why he calls Torah Or. Or Mamish. V'lo Chachma Levat. And it's not just Chachma. V'lo Yishemara Or B'derech Dimyin. It's not a mashal. Ela Or Mamish. So he keeps harping on this, that it's real or and mamish or and so on and so forth. I'm not sure. I mean, it is a mashal. At the end of the day, if you open up a sefer in a dark room, it's not going to be lit. So what does he mean exactly? I think what he means is the maybe along like what the Shulchan Aruch says, something similar. The Shulchan Aruch says that the Welt thinks that the reason why we use certain words to describe ruchnistic phenomena is a mashal. So we speak about yamin. Yamin is stronger, so we speak about that's a mashal. Says it's the other way around. Yad Hashem is a mitzvah. Is a physical representation of that mitzvah. So it really starts with something called Yad Hashem, and when it comes out to our world, Yad becomes something the physical as we know the Yad. Maybe he means that, but at the end of the day, for Tzagir, for us, it means it's a Ha'ara, and it's something that is giving us insight into another world. And whenever it comes into the neshama, it lights up the neshama like the sunlight in a house. So using this mashal again, it would mean that just like sunlight itself, unless it has where to enter, it will not light up the room. So too, you need a glass window to allow the sun to come in. So the Nishmas Yisrael is sensitive to Or, it allows Or in, and that's why it's possible to have this Or. I want to point out where he's headed to with this, the big picture. We understand our natural instincts to understand Torah as a guidebook to make use of this world. So Torah is how to make life a better life, society a better society, and so on. And that's what Torah is. We say Torah also has in itself all sorts of deep meanings and secrets and so on, which is what Kabbalah people have. So looking at that way, Torah is a guide for life in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also incorporated all sorts of wonderful secrets that he put into Torah and so on. That's a perspective. It's not kfira and so on. It's not his perspective. His perspective is that, and this has a lot to do with how Mekubalim understood things, that it's the other way around. The real emes is the hanhagas lamala, the whatever in yanim they are lamala, as they come down to a lower and lower form, they take on the form that we find, that we have. Let's use a simple mashal for it. Imagine somebody is a great physicist, and he's asked to explain to an audience, to a very lay audience, about a certain phenomena, and he explains it to them in a language and mishalim that they understand, and then he shows them the massive equations that are the scientific version of it. So people understand the story is the way he told the story. These atoms go here, these electrons go there, this is this and that. You want to know how to express it mathematically. Here are a bunch of equations, and this is what it's about. Okay. The scientist, the physicist, looks at it the other way around. He's been sitting and poring over the math all day long, and the mathematical formula is reality to him. He has to speak now in front of Balabat. He has to speak in front of laymen. So he needs to think of Mishalim that people will understand. Better than Mishalim. He needs to find cases that express that law. So for instance, he wants to express the law of conservation of energy and matter. So he's going to think up of an experiment and present it. The experiment that people see are the physical embodiment of this law of conservation of energy and matter. So for the people looking at it, they see the thing, and the words or the equations are like some sort of extra tagged onto it. A person who is a scientist sees it the other way around. He sees the equation as being reality, and this a particular manifestation of that great law and so on. So when we talk about Chochmas HaPnim, it really varies from extreme to extreme. It's really how you look at it. Do you look at it as extra credit, kind of playing with words maybe, and a game sort of to put in all sorts of ideas into words, or vice versa? This is the higher emes, and knowing that is a deeper understanding of things. It's not like a side little vertel. It's the pnimius of something, and which expresses. And Seichel Adam needs the fit for it. If Seichel Adam would not fit for it, Torah wouldn't land, because we don't have a clear receptive for understanding it. The Afgam Zeis, Hine Bedikta Godel Nimshal Leish, Vashvam Dukdekes. It also, besides being or, its Mashal to Eish is very meduktic. He says, do you ever see a coal in an ember? And the ember, we're told that it has fire in it, heat and fire and light. I don't see any of it. But when I blow on it, all of a sudden, a fire erupts from within it. So that means the fire was somewhere in that ember, not before, it wasn't in an overt way, but it was hidden there. And as soon as I blow on it, it just flares up. And there are many colors in that flame. And in the Gacheles, we saw nothing. It's a piece of coal. It's a black piece of coal. I blow on it, and wow, we get all these colors coming out from there. The words, the physical words of Torah, are like a Gacheles. When you look at it, it doesn't seem to have more than just the words. But if you get into it, from every letter there will be a big flame coming out, with all sorts of different lights, different colors. These were the ideas that were in that ice. So Ramchal is giving us a picture. He's using a mashal. This mashal is an extremely prevalent mashal in Kabbalah itself. When we speak about the worlds that emanated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on, this mashal is used very frequently. It for us, it's a picture of something that, like this ember, contains fire. But if you were to cut the ember into two, you would not find any fire inside. So it's only it's somewhere there's the sense of something being within something else. Very hard to get a finger on it. Very hard to define it. But it's a muscle for us. Torah itself, within the words of Torah, there's a fire there. An oyer, and it's basically realized by massaging the words. you know, by being yogea or omel on the words. So as a person works on the words and is omel yogea, the person brings out the fire. And like he says before, that he has many gvanim. It means there's not only one particular secret or message. When we speak about Ayin Panim L'Torah, and we speak about Pardes and all the different arrays of Torahs, that itself is also remarkable. All of that was Ganus. So I can say, well, I have a drawer here, and in this drawer I have X, Y, Z. But to have all the different gvanim inside it, when it itself is black, where was the red? Where was the yellow? Where was the green? All of those hidden in a monochrome or almost a lack of color. So in a certain sense, what it lead up to, and in just the general sense of it, is Torah itself has within its very fiber, has in itself much more. I want to go back to his mashal. If I wanted to speak about something hidden, I could talk about a chest and open up the chest and there's stuff inside it. That's the way I could talk about it. That is not the mashal he's using, because that's not really hidden within. He's talking about the fire and the ember, where the ember is a solid piece of rock. And yet, in this piece that's solid, there's so much more. Torah is not a code. When I send somebody a letter that's in code, so when I say my Aunt Sally arrived yesterday on the boat, so-and-so, I don't have an aunt. She's not named Sally, and she didn't drive on a boat. It's just a way to keep a secret message inside. That's not Torah. Torah itself is a full Torah. The chelek hanigel of Torah is a full sefer, but inside we don't see any holes over it. There's no backs. There's no hollow inside it, and yet all of it is ready. Is somewhere secreted in it. That's the chesivus. That's the galus of Torah. Okay, so we're holding here by the next piece, which is the Oisis of the Aleph phase. And I think next week, Be'ez Hashem, I probably should be able to. It's Hanukkah next week, but we should be able to learn a little bit about with Oyer here and many other good things. If there'll be a change, everybody will be notified. Okay, Guten, and a Freilich Hanukkah. Kol Tov, bye.